Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. To give God praise, because he is rightfully due praise. Hallelujah. It is him who has kept us and not we ourselves. Amen. And I'm just so excited to be here tonight. I don't know about you, but every time we come, I said, it's Wednesday, Father. Thank you. It's Wednesday, Father. Thank you. Amen. It's Wednesday, Father. And we thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. How many know what a mighty God we serve? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh. We'll be right back.
serve a wonderful God. All of my life, I've never known you to fail. The songwriter said, you remain the same, man. Wonderful is your name. Amen. We know it's a choir song, but we're going to do it for praise and worship. Is that all right? Ooh, yes. Come on, we're going to sing it. Come on, we're going to sing the throwback in here. All right, come on. Everybody, come on. Let's clap. Come on.
This morning.
He put food on my table, brought joy to my. That wonderful is his name. Wonderful. Wonderful. God has so many names. Does he have? He has so many names. Amen. Some might call him awesome. Somebody might call him wonderful. Somebody might call him Jehovah. Some might call him Jehovah Jireh. Some might call him Jehovah Sikkenu. Some might call him Elohim. Some might call him Jehovah's Nisi. Some might call him the great I am. Some might call him our shelter. Some might call him our pavilion. Some might call him our strong tower. Some might call him our sword. Some might call him our shield. Some might call him our buckler. Some might call him our healer. Some might call him our way maker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Some might call him the chief stone. Hallelujah, that they rejected. Some might call him the Lamb of God. Some might call him the great I am. But it doesn't matter what you call him today. I want to let you know that he's answering you. So keep calling his name. Oh, ooh, I feel that. Keep calling his name. Keep calling his name. Ooh, whatever you're calling him, late in the midnight hour, whatever you're calling him when you rise early and give him praise. It says, early in the morning will I seek thee. Jesus. And for everybody that's seeking him in the morning, for everybody that's seeking him in the late night hour, I want you to call his name, whatever that name may be. Call him and see, won't he answer you? Call him and see, won't he care? Call him because he said you are his sheep. You are his children. Ooh, Jesus. Call him today. I dare you to call him. Because wonderful is his name. He woke us up this morning. He started us on our way. He put food on our table. He brought joy to our day. That's something to get excited about. That's something to get excited about when we're talking about what God is doing. We're not talking about financially. We're not talking about monetarily. We're not talking about the things that he give us. I'm talking about waking us up this morning. Because if we're here, that means God has given us one more chance. If we're here, that means that we still have purpose and God still has need for us. If he woke you up this morning, I dare you to give him a praise. If he made a way for you, I dare you to give him a praise. If he's opened doors for you, I dare you to give him a praise. If he healed your body, I dare you to give him a praise. If he made a way out of no way, I dare you to give him a praise. When he answered you, hallelujah. Whoa, hallelujah, when he answered you. Ooh. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What has he done for you? He woke me up. He woke you 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 up this morning. He woke you up. He woke you up this morning. He woke you up. He woke you up this morning. Come on, I know they're coming in. Come on, but let's give God a worship. Come on, let us open up our lips and let's give God praise. Let's worship him. Let's give him the fruit of our lips. Let's magnify him. Let's exalt him. Come on, hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for us, our very soul cries out. Oh God, it cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. I thank God for delivering me. I thank God for getting me out of that muck and that mire. I thank God for delivering me, hallelujah, from that pit. Oh God, I'm grateful that he called my name and I answered. I'm grateful, hallelujah, that he called me and I answered. I'm grateful that he called me and I answered. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, let me do my job. Oh. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Come on, let the glory of the Lord, oh, let it rise. Let the glory of the Lord.
How many people are glad to be in the house of the Lord one more time? Oh, come on, come on. Y'all had a good time praise and worship. How many people are really glad to be in the house of the Lord one more time? Because he didn't have to do it. I wish I had some help on this evening to let somebody know here in East Orange and out there that glory of the Lord, we're glad that it's rise. Come on, somebody. Amen. As we continue in this worship experience, we're going to sing our Lenten season song for this occasion. Oh, how I love Jesus, followed by prayer by Reverend Johnson, scripture by Minister Purnell, in that order, amen. And just remind you, if you are one of the ones that arrived here, want to make sure that as we are leading with the benediction, as we go out the door, if you are, you know, just be courteous. If you're blocking someone, please, man, please, sir, please make sure that you are able to, you know, be able to move your car safely and, you know, as we, you know, during the night. Amen. Y'all smile a little bit. Amen. Amen. And if that's you, just look at yourself. Don't have to look at nobody else. Amen. Just make sure that we are able to let somebody else leave. Amen. Praise God. Thank you.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Come on, put your hands together and let's give our dear Christ Jesus a crazy, rousing hand clap of praise. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank you for another opportunity to worship you, to praise you, to lift you up, because you are our Savior. You are our Redeemer. You are our Lord. You are King of Kings. We invite your very presence in this sanctuary and on social media platforms. We love and adore you. Yes, you are Alpha and Omega. And our hearts are stirred with a deep longing for your transforming power to sweep across all our people during this Lenten season. We cry out to you, the God of revival, to pour out your spirit in a mighty way and awaken us to a new move of your presence. We ask, no beg, for change. Change our minds. Change our perspectives. Change our attitudes. For we have at times grown complacent, compromised, and lukewarm in our devotion to you. The passion and zeal we once had may have dwindled, and the fire of the Holy Spirit seems to have been extinguished. Cleanse this very place and remove all barriers and hindrances that try to distract us from your message and living world. But we know that you are the God who is able to breathe new life into dead situations. You are the God who can take the ashes of our failures and disappointments and turn them into your radiant glory. So we humble ourselves before you, O Lord. We come to repent of our sins, our apathy, and our spiritual dryness. Forgive us for allowing the cares of this world to distract with chaos and confusion, numbing our very senses from the priority of seeking your face. Cleanse us, purify us, and restore us with you. Holy Spirit, we invite you to have your way in our lives, in our churches, and in our homes. Ignite our hearts with a renewed passion for Jesus. Revive us with a fresh hunger for your word and a fervent desire to live in obedience to your truth. Now empower the preacher of the hour to break down the strongholds of the enemy that have hindered the advance of your kingdom. Expose all deception and compromise that sometimes creep into the church. Strengthen us to stand firm against the schemes of the devil and proclaim the gospel with boldness, even in the face of opposition. Refresh our faith to care more about why people are attending instead of how many people attended. Reaffirm our focus to be more about connecting with and praying to you. Take residence in our very hearts, in our very minds, and our very souls. Let us hasten to join you in the declaration as written in Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Enable and commission us to have a heart for the people, so that our living testimonies are all about loving our neighbors as much as ourselves. Let all the churches and people gathered here not become museums for saints, but hospitals for sinners. A place to know you, God, better. For this is your house, and your house is a house of prayer. We will not make it a den of thieves robbing you the glory due to your name. Calvary, Calvary, sinner, do you love my Jesus? Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves you. For the Bible tells us so. Amen, amen, and amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Today I really know the meaning of, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. When you deal with the world, amen, during the day, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I have the assignment of reading the scripture on today. I'll be reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 12 through 15. I'll be reading the New Living Translation version. Amen. If you have your sword, say amen. If you're at Matthew 21, say, I got it. Hallelujah. Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. Right. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. He said to them, The scriptures declare, my temple will be called a house of prayer. But you have turned it into a den of thieves. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. The leading priests and the teachers of the religious law saw these wonderful miracles and heard even the children in the temple shouting, praise God for the Son of David. But the leaders were indignant. I have read Matthew 21, verses 12 through 15. May God's word be a blessing to you. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I say, praise the Lord, everybody. How many know the Lord our God is a good God? And he is worthy of all the praise. I rise and give honor to God who is my everything. To welcome all of you tonight to an experience in Christ Jesus. Amen. In the 73rd Psalm, Psalm of Asaph, where he is talking about his despair over the wicked. We're living in a world where every time we turn around, there's more bad news about the wicked. And he says in the psalm, if I would have complained about it loudly, the folks would have considered me a traitor. He said, but I just couldn't understand why God is allowing these wicked people to do all of this to the righteous people. But around the 17th verse said, until I went into the sanctuary. He said, when I went into the sanctuary, I understood what's going to happen to the wicked. So we don't have to walk around with our head hung low. We don't have to walk around in defeat. We don't have to walk around as those who have no hope. We have come into the sanctuary tonight to get a better understanding of what it means to be clean. We have come into the sanctuary tonight to get a better understanding that God is still on the throne. So I need you to know tonight you are welcome to give him some praise. You are welcome to open your heart. You are welcome to open your mouth. You are welcome to pour out your heart. You are welcome to invite God onto your row and say, God, everything on this row, I decree and declare in the name of Jesus is healed, delivered, saved, and free. You are welcome tonight to give him some glory. You are welcome tonight to dance on the devil's head. You are welcome tonight to refuse to be depressed. You are welcome tonight to get your hope back and your joy back and your praise back and your worship back. You are welcome tonight.
Yes, sir. Come on now. Pastor.
God gave us a welcome like none other. Hallelujah. If you came to get your joy back, my God, your peace, my God, and everything that the devil think he took from you. Think he took. Huh? All right. Pastor Wilson told us tonight. Oh, tonight. In the sanctuary. I don't want to have no church. You can get everything that you need right here. You don't have to hope. You don't have to be in despair. You don't have to have sorrow all over us. My God, but tonight, we can get all that we need right in the sanctuary. In the well. In the well. In the well. In the sanctuary. All right. My God. My God, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to compose myself. I'm trying to compose myself. My God, listen, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for us, the songwriter says our soul cries out, hallelujah, I thank God for saving me. Got my good shoe on tonight. My God. When I think of the goodness of Jesus. We're not gonna belabor the time because Let me move and do my job. We done did a little scream and shout. And, but I want to sing this song, and even though it's, I want to sing it because of the late Pastor Childress. Used to sing this song on Youth Sunday. And it's simple. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, that's it. And all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. And he used to start that off when he used to do the youth services sometime. He would say, when I think. And then he would go on, when I think of the goodness of Jesus. And all he's done for me, my very soul cries out, hallelujah, I thank God for saving me. Come on, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, and all
recorded by Matthew.
All right.
In the 25th chapter, beginning at verse number 15, reads on this wise, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several abilities, straight away took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went trading.
All right.
Same and made them 5 other talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. Uh-huh. But he that had received the 1 went and dig in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Right. I like this. After a long time, the Lord of the servants came back to reckon with them. I think, you know, we sometimes use this scripture to think that it's about singing, talent, and it could be, but when we talk about talents, we're talking about measure and weight. We're talking about money. And I was looking at it, and they said if 1 talent would be like 1.5 million, 2.5 million. But it's the master that gave the talent. See, some of us think that whatever you got, that's improper English. Whatever you have, God gave it to.
Right.
And he's coming back.
Come on.
To wreck it. To see what you did with it's about stewardship. All I'm trying to think about. So we receive an offering. We're going to receive two offerings tonight. One for our preacher, our president. Come on, give God praise for our president, Reverend Allen Lawrence. And we will receive the offering for the United Clergy of the Oranges. I'm going to ask if Irby McKay would come. Past President Lori Williams would come. Amen. Clergy, you know what you've been asked to do. Amen. Amen. We're going to ask you to be a blessing to the clergy, be a blessing to our president. Amen. As we are good stewards of what God has entrusted us with. Because if you keep on with the story, it says that when he reckoned with them, when he gave five, he said, good and good looking servant. He said, good and faithful. It's about faithfulness. Faithfulness. Amen. Let us come under the direction of our, be led by our ushers. We're going to ask the clergy if they would come first. The basket, Lord. Reverend Lori Williams is holding is for the preacher, Reverend Allen Lawrence, and Reverend McKay will be holding the basket for the United Clergy of the Oranges. Our cash app is in the program. If you give by way of online giving, please come and just touch the basket. Amen. Clergy. Thank you. gave those that had a mind to give and not the resources. Now, Lord, we pray your blessings 100-fold on this offering for the intent that it would receive. This is our prayer in the majesty of strong in the saving name of Jesus. And God's people said,
how many people know it's preaching time? Oh, I believe somebody excited about the word on this evening. Amen. It's preaching time. Amen. Amen. I have the honor and pleasure to introduce the preacher on tonight. He is no stranger to you or to the United Clergy. Amen. He is the pastor of the New Beginnings Faith Fellowship Ministry. Come on, y'all, give a round of applause. Amen. Amen. In the month of April, he'll be celebrating 6 years of pastoral. Oh, y'all can do better than that. Amen. Amen. 6 years. And he's still there. Amen. Some of y'all get that later. Amen. So happy to see Bishop Cook and on tonight. His pastor's here. Amen. He'll be one of the preachers as well as Dr. Niles Wilson and overseer Justin Coleman. So he'll be they'll be celebrating with him on his anniversary. He is a married man. Y'all better say married man. Amen. Y'all see that young lady shouting? That's his wife, Elder Terry. Amen. You better let him know. Amen. We live. Amen. He's married. Married man of over 21 years. With this union, they have 6 children. Amen. And all are doing well. Somebody say they doing well. Amen. If you ever get a chance to watch them on Facebook, they have their own show. I love that show. Amen. They get in some deep. They get some deep conversations, amen. So y'all check them out. He is also a board member of the East Orange Junior Jaguars football team, amen. Last but not least, he is a friend of mine, a friend of the clergy, and just an all-around good brother, amen. Amen. I know he will preach. I know he can preach. Amen. And it is all right that if we just come together as one with a congregational song, amen. Can we do that? Amen. So if we can't go to, amen, at the cross, amen. I'm going to ask Reverend Ricks to help me out. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Talking about go ahead, Pastor Jackson, go ahead, Reverend Ricks. Amen. Amen. At the cross, if you have your hymnal, page 79, amen. We can all sing together. And it's all right if we stand. If you're able to stand, can we sing this? That I on. Make that personal. Yes, yes, it. Let her. Amen. Oh, that feel good. Come on, one more time. One more time. At the cross.
Somebody's happy about the cross tonight.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Where will we be? Amen. If it had not been, amen, for the cross. Amen. Tonight we greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Who is our life? It is in him that we live, we move, and we have, amen, our very beings. Amen. You may have your seats. Amen. In the presence, amen, of the Lord. Tonight. We thank God for the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. That is in this place tonight. Amen. Did you feel His presence already? Amen. For where the presence of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. We bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. To our worship leader, amen, Dr. Jackson. Amen. Our Vice President. Amen. To Reverend Johnson, who led us in prayer this morning. Amen. To my fellow brothers and sisters. Amen. Of the United Clergy of the Oranges. Amen. Amen. To my wife. Amen. To my life partner. Amen. The one who is walking with me in ministry. Amen. Have you enjoyed the ministry of Elder Tahira Lawrence? Amen. Tonight we honor our host pastor, amen, Dr. Wilson. Amen. To his wife in her absence, amen, Lady Wilson. Amen. Have you been enjoying your time here at Greater Cornerstone? Tonight, we want to draw your attention, amen, to the book of Matthew, chapter 21.
All right.
Amen. This scripture has already been read, but we will read verses 12 through 14. Right. Amen. We will ask you to stand in honor and reverence, amen, to the word of the Lord. Matthew 21 and 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out them all that sold and brought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, it is written,
all right,
my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.
Yeah, sure did.
Verse 14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. For your word is truth, and your word is life. Father, it is our prayer for the next few moments that you will speak to our hearts, that you will illuminate the text tonight, that
you will prepare our hearts to receive from you. Father, we pray, God, that you would speak into this place, that you will cause your word to come alive in our hearts as we hear, oh God, as we receive from you, God, speak now unto us. Father God, hide us behind the cross of Calvary. Father God, cleanse us tonight. Cleanse our minds and cleanse our hearts and purify us tonight, oh God.
Well, thank you.
That on the other side that we will come out as better Christians.
Yeah.
That on the other side that we will come out, oh God, with a praise. For we know, oh God, that you have done a work in us tonight. God, I pray that no one will leave the way that they came in, but that we would leave out encouraged, inspired, and renewed, God. Now, Father, consecrate me to thy service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. We want to use for a thought tonight, worship without Jesus.
Wow.
Worship without Jesus.
Wow.
Brothers and sisters, I would like to start our conversation off tonight by discussing the purpose of God's house. We will examine one of the greatest acts completed by the Lord Jesus in the final week of his life. This cleansing of the temple demonstrates to us today the heart of Jesus, the purpose of his house, and the dissatisfaction Jesus feels when we attempt to change his prescribed method of worship. I think it's important to let you know tonight that our text, we will see, or we will find out, that it is not the first time that Jesus has cleansed the temple. John records in his gospel in chapter 2 around verse 12 that after Jesus had performed his first miracle, which we know was changing water into wine, that Jesus went down in Capernaum, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples. And John records that it was the Passover, and Jesus went up into Jerusalem. And he found them in the temple, those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money. And John records that Jesus took a small cord and he drove them all out of the temple. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all record the second cleansing, the last week of the life of Jesus. And once again, Jesus sets the standard for worship in his house. We will examine the text, and we will conclude from Jesus' very own actions that the house of God must have standards. It must have rules when it comes to our worship experience before God. And I know that we're living in a society where everything is okay, with lowering our standards in every area of our life.
My God.
We're living in a society where it's okay to lower our standards, and those who hold power, we hold less accountable for what they should be doing.
My God. Yeah, yeah.
We live in a society where we can't even trust our elected officials, because they say one thing on the campaign trail and they do another once they win our vote. We live in a society where the values that we used to hold dear to our hearts are no longer in the forefront of our culture. Somewhere along the line, we decided that it would be okay to trade our values for lies and mistruths. Somehow we become comfortable with lowering our standards.
My God.
And in many ways, we've allowed society to back us up into a corner as Christians. We've allowed the world to dictate to us what is relevant and what we should and should not preach in the house of God. In our attempt to be relevant, in our attempt to draw the world into the church, we have adopted a mindset of the world. We've lowered our standards as a church to try to bring those on the outside into the house of God. And we are slowly finding out. And what we're slowly finding out is you can bring the world into the church. But the world will not change if the church decides to act like the world. The church is not supposed to be the world. Bishop Lou, we are supposed to be Christ's representation on the earth of a changed people. The church is supposed to be the ecclesia of God, the called out one to represent Christ in our behavior, because we have experienced the life-changing power of God in our lives. Hear me tonight. If we want the world to experience the Jesus of the Bible and not this American Jesus that we preach today, we, the church, have to do some work, and we, the church, have to start doing some changing our own self. Yes, sir. When I look at the church today, I wonder deep within my heart, is this what Jesus really had in mind when he went to the cross? Pastor Washington, we have allowed the culture of this world to creep into our churches. We've allowed the culture of this world to enter into the house of worship. And we've allowed the culture of this world to change how we do worship. Dr. Wilson, we have adopted the mindset that church is no longer the place of hope and restoration for God's people. Dr. Clegg, somehow, some way, we've allowed the culture of this world to influence how we approach in holy God. We've allowed the world to take up space in our hearts. So much so that when we approach God, we bring him a heart full of worldly passions. And a heart full of desires that God does not desire to have in us. And then we wonder why God doesn't visit our churches regularly. And then we come and we attempt to force God to accept what's in our hearts, what we have allowed the world to corrupt in us all week long, and we show up to God as if God should accept who we are, what we've done, without taking the necessary steps to cleanse our hearts before we approach in holy God. We've become comfortable with letting anything go in God's house. We no longer believe that God's presence will not dwell in the midst of unrepentant sins. With no desire to make lifelong commitments to change. And those of us who stand behind the sacred desk must first understand that we cannot represent God and the world at the same time. We cannot be cussing and preaching at the same time. Preachers are becoming more worldly in our attempt to remain relevant as we preach the gospel message. We're always looking for new ways to capture this modern church who have become so cold to the simplicity of the word of God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. always looking for the preacher to present something new to capture your attention. And if we don't push the envelope, we worry about whether you're going to show up next week. Dr. Webb, when did we lose our way? When did the message of the cross stop exciting us as believers? When did Jesus, the message of Jesus saved, stop exciting the church? When did St. John 3 and 16 stop making us jump for joy? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. When did this message stop exciting us? And who gave us permission to change God's word? Who gave us permission to change the word of God? We have become so interested in having our viral moment in church that we're willing to sacrifice the sanctity of God's house just to get some views.
Come on, Pastor. Come on, Pastor. Come on, Pastor.
We're willing to make what should be a holy space, what should be a sacred place of worship, into a theater where anything goes.
My God.
We're willing to make God's house into a place where we are no longer concerned about what we post and whether it injured God's house or the people who came to be set free. As long as we get some like and some views, we okay.
Come on, Mr. President.
What is happening to our church today?
Help us.
We have changed the message that Jesus saved to the utmost to being a place of entertainment where we gather, and it does not matter if the presence of God ever shows up, just as long as the music sounds good, just as long as we're able to show up and shout and dance. We are okay with our church experience, but never experiencing the power and the presence of a mighty God. The text demonstrates tonight that we can have church and the presence of the Lord never enters into our service. Just because the music sounds good does not mean that the presence of the Lord is in our services. Just because the preacher makes you feel good does not mean the presence of the Lord has ever entered into our service. And after all the shouting you do, if you still mean and nasty, you have not experienced the power of God. You just experienced emotionalism. Because when you really experience the power of God, the power of God will change your behavior. If a preacher preaches the sermon and you go home and do the opposite of what he preached, you haven't experienced the power of God. You have experienced an emotional frenzy. Because the preacher and the music sound real good. The real presence of God will cause change in our hearts and cause men and women to cry out, "What must we do to be saved?" When we really invite the power of God in our churches, we will see men and women laying at the altar because we understand that the power of Christ has entered our sanctuary and it has caused us to cry out to God for help. When the power of Christ enters into our worship experience, it will reveal the wicked intentions of our heart and cause us to cry out like Isaiah did in Isaiah 6 and 1 when he said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated upon the throne high and lifted up, and the train of his glory filled the temple." The text shows us that you can have church.
Yeah.
And Christ never enters into the midst of your singing and shouting.
That's something.
In verse 12.
Yeah.
Jesus goes into the temple and he casts all of them out that sold and brought in the temple. And the Bible says he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves.
Yeah,
yeah. I've already told you that this is not the first time that Jesus cleansed the temple. Right. So when he arrives the second time, he finds worship taking place without his presence. He finds a form of corrupted worship. Where there are thousands of people who have now descended upon Jerusalem because it's the Passover. And they are required to travel to the temple for worship. Many of them have traveled a great distance and they're not able to bring their own animals for worship. Therefore, they must purchase animals for worship at the temple. And what makes Jesus so upset that he begins to put everybody out?
Everybody.
What made Jesus so mad?
Everybody.
Number one, those who were required to keep the temple sacred had desecrated the house of God. They took what was supposed to be a sacred moment for men and women and families to have a safe place to come and make atonement, and they turned it into a place of deception. They sold animals that were used for sacrifice at inflated prices. Those in charge allow the house of God to become a place of greed and exploitation. They took advantage of those that were vulnerable and less fortunate, or to fill their pockets with money from those who simply came to do one thing, Reverend Ricks, which was worship. Now Jesus now has to deal with those that are in authority, Bishop. Those that allowed hypocrisy to take place in the house of God. Those who took advantage of the poor, the disenfranchised, and those that made their way to the temple only to be charged extra for worship. Jesus now has to deal with those that has now made worship difficult. How sad it is when we have those who will gather with us for worship, yet they're on assignment from the enemy to ensure that our worship experience ends without us ever touching the presence of God. They come and they sit among us and they act like they are with us, but in reality, they are fighting against the presence of God, and they are imposters that hinder the worship experience. They're individuals on assignment to make sure that the worship experience becomes difficult and non-existent.
Right.
To make sure that the presence of God never fills our temples. You see them all the time. The ones who never stand up and participate in worship. Yet they're the first ones to walk through the door on Sunday morning. They come to make worship difficult. Take note, brothers and sisters, that Matthew told us that Jesus put everybody out.
Everybody.
Those who brought and those who sold, everybody had to get out the temple, Pastor Washington. So this helps us to understand that not only were the leaders at fault, but those who were willing to participate in buying a product at inflated prices was also at fault. This helps us to understand that the congregation must also bear some of the responsibility of why our churches are dead when we gather. Because the congregation has lowered their love for God. They're okay with coming to God's house and allowing the preacher to preach messages that don't change lives. The problem is that the congregation has lost their love for God. It has been diminished So we're okay if the preacher only preach stuff that make us feel good rather than preach stuff that make us change our behavior. Then when we try to preach the messages of correction, because we try to preach the messages of correction, your heart has gone so cold towards the word of God. When we try to correct you, you leave our church. And you go find somebody else's church that'll make you feel comfortable, because our hearts are far from God. Jesus put everybody out the temple. In order for true healing and deliverance to take place, everybody had to leave God's house.
Everybody.
In verse 23, it tells us that after Jesus put everybody out the temple, Jesus tells them that my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. Jesus rebuke provides clarification on what the purpose of his church really is. Jesus says, my house shall be a house of prayer. And if we're going to see the power of God re-enter into our churches again, the church must first return to the place of prayer. We must make prayer our foundation of our worship experience. Let me say it again. We must make prayer the foundation of our worship experience. We must put prayer back at the forefront of our churches again. See, your reaction shows us how cold we've grown as a church. If we want to see the power of God in our churches again, we must strip ourselves of the love of this world. Preach, Pastor Lawrence. You can tear down your pulpits all you want, and you can replace them with stages and smoke screens. But if you don't have genuine prayer, all you're going to have is a stage where people come to perform and the glory of God never enters the sanctuary. There was a time, Dr. Wilson, where we knew that when we stood behind the sacred desk, it was a sacred moment where we've come to help the people cleanse their lives of what they went through. If we are comfortable with prayerless worship environments, if we are comfortable with prayerless worship environments, the power of God will never visit us in our sanctuary.
Never.
Now we must return to prayer.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about your 5-minute invocation before your service starts. I'm talking about where men and women come together and we pray collectively until the power of God falls in our services. And we are not questioning how long is a person going to pray. I'm talking about when we come together and we pray until hearts are changed. And we pray until minds are converted. And we pray until prayer changes the way we think. And we pray until prayer changes the way we feel. And we pray until prayer begins to convict us of the sin that we're living in. For the Bible tells us, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Somebody knows the word tonight.
We with you.
I'm talking about praying until the power of God fill our sanctuaries. So much so until brothers and sisters who are not speaking to one another in the same church will come together because the power of God has hit them and caused them to lay down their gifts and come back until the power of God fills them all over again. I'm talking about praying until the power of God convict us of our behavior. Talking about we praying until preachers who are angry with their own congregations, until their hearts begin to be filled with the love of God again, because they know that we are serving a people that are in need of a shepherd. Lord, help us return and get back on our knees and seek you and change from our wicked ways. When will we start praying and dealing with the issues that live within our own hearts? When will we stop becoming comfortable with doing church without Jesus? The people were comfortable coming to the temple.
Yeah.
For it was 3 years since Jesus last visited his house.
All right.
For the purpose of cleansing. And they were comfortable, with having church without Jesus.
Yeah. Sad.
The musicians were playing, but God's power never came into the house. The praise and worship leaders were singing, but the power of God never came back into the house. The preacher was preaching, but the power of God was not coming into the church. And Jesus showed up to deal with a culture of dead worship. And many of us are so familiar with church that when the true worship takes place, we're so focused on our programs that we allow our programs to hinder the spirit of God and what he's trying to do. He's trying to strip us of our programs so his glory and his power and his Shekinah presence can fill our temples again. Jesus' solution, Reverend Ricks, was to put everybody out the temple.
Everybody.
If some of us don't amend our ways, the Lord is going to move us out his service. Let me say it again. If some of us don't amend our own ways, the Lord is going to move us out the service. And he's going to replace us with people who want to worship. And he's going to replace us with people who want to pray. And he's going to replace us with people that want to see the power and the presence of God come in our lives. He's going to start removing everything and everybody that just want to come for entertainment and not Jesus. Bible says he put everybody out.
Everybody.
After he put everybody out, everybody. The text tells us, it says now, them that were blind and lame, they were now able to come into the temple and to receive what they needed in the temple because God dealt with those that hearts were not pure. Now that Jesus has cleansed those who brought and sold in the temple, those that were sick and those that could not afford the high-priced animals could now come into the temple and worship free of charge. United Clergy, when we clean up our temples, the Lord will visit us once again. When we clean up our houses, the sick can come into our church again and be healed. But until we deal with those that are standing in the way, until we deal with those that are stiff-necked and hard-headed, until we deal with those that refuse to yield in worship and refuse to lift their hands in worship and refuse to cry out to God, until we deal with those individuals, we're going to be doing church without Jesus. When will we get hungry for the Lord again? When we get hungry for the Lord again, no one would have to tell us to lift our hands up in God's presence. When we get hungry for the Lord again, we will remember what it means to say, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. When we get hungry for God, no one would have to remind us what the Lord has done for us. When we get hungry for God, we will remember the fact that just a few short years ago, some of us sitting in this very room were suffering from COVID, on the verge of death. Yet the Lord brought us out and he brought us through.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What killed millions, the Lord allowed us to live through.
Thank you.
So when I enter into God's house, I don't got time to wonder,
thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah,
thank you.
What you've been dealing with all week. When I enter into God's house, I come looking to meet Jesus. When I enter into God's house, I come looking for the power and the presence of God to meet me in the sanctuary here. And I ain't got time to be looking down my road trying to figure out if you want to praise God. If you don't want to praise God with me, I'll praise him by myself. Because the Lord has done too much for me. And the Lord has brought me out. And the Lord has opened up too many doors for me. When I come into God's house, I come looking for the presence and the power of God to meet me.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I'm almost done.
Hey, 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 hey.
When I come into God's house, I'm just not singing because the music sounds good. I'm singing because I know the Lord brought me out. I'm singing because the Lord brought me through. I'm singing because the Lord kept me in my mind in a season when I thought I was going to die. That's why I praise him, and that's why I worship him, and that's why I give him glory. Because I know it was nobody.
Hey,
nobody but the Lord that brought me out. Nobody but the Lord that brought me through. Nobody but the Lord that saved my life. I was sinking. Deep in sin. Far from a peaceful shore. Very, very deeply stained within. Seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry. And from the waters he lifted me. Now safe in my heart. It was love that lifted me. Anybody know love lifted you? Why nothing else can help. Love lifted me. So when I come into God's presence, I want to touch his power. I want to pull on his glory. I might come in sick, but if the power comes in the room, I can receive healing. I might come in depressed, but when his glory comes in the room, he'll give me a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. When the power of God comes into the room, there's an exchange for my weakness for his glory. Can't do church without him. Can't come in here just to have a social club. This is the Lord's house. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. When I come in here, I've come to worship a God that's been good to me. Come to worship a God that's been good to me. When I think, Reverend Rick, that some of us could have died in car accidents, but the Lord spared us. The Bible says he has kept angels around about us. And what the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for our good. So how can I come in God's house and sit there like the Lord hasn't done anything for me? How can I come in God's house and not raise my hands? How can I come in God's house and not give him glory? I can't do church without his presence. I don't want to do church without Jesus. I need to feel his presence. I need to know when I come in the room that God is with me. I want to feel him in my hands. I want to feel him in my feet. I want to feel him all over me. I want Jesus. You can have church. Give me Jesus alone. I want the power. I want the anointing. I want the glory of God. I want to experience, hallelujah, the power of God. I want Jesus.
Yeah.
I want Jesus, Lady Clay. Because worship saved my life.
Yeah.
Let me say it again. I want Jesus because worship saved my life.
Yeah.
Let me close with this, brothers and sisters. I don't always feel like coming to church.
My God. Tell it.
I don't always feel like getting up out of my bed coming to church. But every once in a while,
come on.
I gotta press beyond what I'm feeling. Every once in a while, I gotta shake myself and remember why I worship him. I got to shake myself and remember the God that I serve, that he's a healer and he's a deliverer and he's a healer. And if you press into his presence, he'll give you what you need. When you show up to God's house, he'll give you what you need. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So I press my way to God's house. And when I walk through the door, I find out, Dr. Wilson, that it was well worth my press. I find out that when I walk through the door, there's a song for me. There's a word for me. There's an anointing for me. And the anointing will destroy yokes. I press my way, and the Lord will meet me in his house. He'll give me what I need. He won't let me die in that season because I press my way to meet him where he was. So Jesus puts everybody out. Because if you're going to do this thing, I want you to do it the way I prescribed it.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
He's not interested in our half-hearted worship. He's not interested in our unrepentant worship. In the words of David, says, create in me
a clean heart
a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. We deal with so much stuff throughout the week. And when we come to God's house, I'm coming that God will create in me a clean heart and he will renew in me a right spirit. So when I come in here, I might come in the room with all types of issues going on in my life. But I press my way because I know God going to do what I need God to do. So that's why I keep coming. That's why I keep pressing my way. That's why I keep showing up Sunday after Sunday to hear the same message over and over again about a God that loves me and a God that cares for me and a God that'll never fail me. Have you tried Jesus?
He's all right.
He's all right. Anybody know he's all right? Anybody know he's all right? Have you tried him lately? Have you called on him lately? Has he been a friend that's taken closer than me, brother?
Thank you, Lord.
Church, I tried them for myself.
Yeah.
I tried them for myself. And I know.
Thank you, Lord.
Can't nobody make me doubt.
Nobody.
Can't nobody make me doubt.
Nobody.
I know too much about it.
Yes. Make it personal.
I know too much about it.
Yeah.
I know that he'll hold you in the middle of the night. I know you'll keep your mind in perfect peace.
Yes, God, yes, God.
If you keep your mind stayed on Jesus.
Yeah, talk about it, talk about it.
He'll walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. Where you feel all alone and you feel like nobody understands. Jesus understands all about our troubles. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He cleansed his temple so that we can worship him and lift our hands up and worship the God of our salvation. We don't have time for games. We don't have time for games. He's coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. When the last time you heard he's coming back? He's coming back tonight. And let's worship him with everything we have. Let's not be satisfied with doing church without his presence. I want his presence to visit us again.
Thank you. could be allowed. This word ministered to my heart. And if you are a follower of Christ, I am reminded that he said, if you will follow me, flesh has to die. If you will follow me, you've got to pick up the cross and follow after him. We've been playing church since we got out of the pandemic. We thought we had it high and mighty, but God is speaking to our hearts right now. We are the ambassadors of God. We are the representation of Jesus Christ today. It's time to clean out your church. Clean out your temple. That we may give God glory. And if we can, just come to the altar just for a time of prayer and repentance. You know, because God sees. He's convicted the heart of some of us in here. And he's calling you to repentance. That flesh has to die. Ooh. Worldliness must be rooted out. Pride and arrogance has no place in the house of God. Usury has no place in the house of God. He's looking for true worshipers. They that will worship him in spirit and in truth. So we ask you now just to come and pray and ask God to root some things out of us. Help us to root it out. Even our judgmental eyes that look at people, condemning them right now in the name of Jesus. Root it out of us right now. Father God, root out fear and every form of procrastination, delay, and spiritual blockage that's in the house today. Root it out by the power of the blood, by the power of your name, and by the power of your spirit. Free us, Jesus, to come to worship you. Free us to enter your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. Free us, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. Ooh. You ain't free yet, but that's all right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh. And God told me today, don't do an invitation to salvation, but an invitation to discipleship. There needs to be a repenting and a turning away so that we could follow God with our whole heart, with all our mind, with all our heart, and all our strength. We've got to turn away from what we were doing and come into the house of prayer, come into the house of worship to give God all glory and honor and due. We need a commitment. We need obedience. We need a new heart to worship our God in these days. You've got to be a light that shines brighter than a noonday. You can't be hidden anymore under the bushel, under the hill. You are the light of God that he's calling you for. So today, if your heart is turned towards him and you're turning away from what is holding us back, just pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to the altar of my heart. I lay down every sin, iniquity, and trespass. Father God, I give you my thoughts, my attitudes, my imaginations, and my reasoning. Now bring them into the obedience of Christ Jesus. Father God, turn over, utterly destroy those things that are blocking my spiritual progress. In Jesus' name, we pray. Praise God. And I don't want to leave out those who may not have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Ooh. God said, if you just believe, we heard a message. We heard the gospel today. So if you hear the word of God, you believe the word of God, he's drawing you to Jesus Christ. If you have not, he says you just have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and you shall be saved. If anyone needs that atoning faith, ooh, ooh, that when you press into the place, God will meet you. Praise God. Praise God. Is there one? Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Mind are clear. God bless you. God bless you.
Is wonderful. Amen. And to God be the glory. Amen. For what our eyes and our ears, amen, have heard on tonight. Amen. The Lord is wonderful. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God, amen, for everything that has taken place from the worship tonight. We thank God for the musicians. Amen. We thank God for Greater Cornerstone hosting us. Amen. Are you enjoying your Lenten season?
Amen.
Amen. On next week, it continues. Amen. On week 5, our Bishop Blue. Amen. We'll be presenting next week, and he will be preaching on the anointing. Amen. And our hearts are standing in great anticipation. Amen. What the Lord will say on next week, because he has more to say. Amen. Amen. Of all hearts and minds, declare, let us stand. We acknowledge all the spouses of our clergy tonight. Amen. And we thank you for coming and supporting. Heavenly Father, as we leave this place, never your presence, we ask that you will go with us tonight. Father, we pray for your traveling mercy and your angels of protection as we travel back home. Father, I pray that this word will burn in our hearts, that it will cause us to chase after you, O God. Father God, we thank you for meeting our needs and speaking to our hearts. Now we pray, Lord, let the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart, let it be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Let all God's children say amen and amen.